sit between me and the students in the front row. Otherwise, I had to have my mask on all the time. Officiating volleyball, I have to wear the mask going in and coming out. I don't have to wear it while I'm actually officiating the game. So I don't like these rules any better than anybody else, and I don't think any of them have been mandated on us for sure, but I just see it as a safety issue. I have three granddaughters who all have respiratory problems. I'm not scared of getting the virus myself. What scares me is getting the virus and passing it off to somebody whose health is not as good, and it may cause their death. That's the only reason I wear the mask, okay? That's my two cents. Take it for what you want, okay? So let's get on to the good stuff. Turn your Bibles to John 8. I'm going to read verse 31, 32. John 8, verses 31 and 32. So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed him, "If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples. And if you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." Shall we pray? Our most holy Father, we come before you this morning as a family. We praise you for being the awesome and loving God that you are, extending your grace and mercy to us through the blood sacrifice of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and we thank you. We thank you for the institution of the church, for while we are in flesh here on earth, this is our little slice of heaven, while being away from our ultimate destination of being with you. Worshiping you together with our brothers and sisters helps strengthen us for our walk in life. Being together builds us up so that we have the faith in our daily lives when others come to ask to show them why we have joy in our hearts. And we also lean on each other for comfort in good times and bad times. We thank you for all the blessings you have bestowed on us and pray that we use it wisely for ourselves and to help others. We pray that we live our lives showing Christ in our daily lives. We pray for those who are sick, living in confinement, in hospitals, have lost loved ones recently, or with those who have physical, mental, or spiritual problems. We pray that you help them and that we do our best to minister to them. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Good to see everyone this morning. Let's start with number 860. 860.
There is a habitation built by the living God for all of every nation who seek the ground of old. Oh, Zion, Zion, I long my gaze to see. Zion, Zion, when shall I dwell in thee? A city with foundations firm as the eternal throne, no wars, no desolation shall ever root the stone. Oh, Zion, Zion, I long thy gaze to see. Oh, no. sorrow, no death and no decay, no yesterday, no morrow, but one eternal day. Oh, Zion, Zion, I long thy gates to see. Oh, Zion, Zion, when shall I dwell in thee? With earnest pearly portals, angelic army seen, what glory but in
Nine fifty-seven. Tony's song.
This world is not my home, I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, then Lord, what will I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. They're all expecting me, and that's one thing I know. My Savior pardoned me, and now I onward go. Though I am weak and poor, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, then Lord, what will I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Just up in glory land will the eternal be. The saints on every hand are shouting victory. Praise drift back from heaven's shore, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, then Lord, what will I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, then Lord, what will I do? Beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore.
Psalm before prayer and scripture reading, 881. 881.
I'm satisfied with just cars below, a little silver and a little gold. But in that city, while the rising will shine, I want a gold one, that silver one. I've got a mansion just over the hilltop, in that bright land where one never grows. And someday yonder, we will never more wander, but walk the streets that are pure as gold. Don't think me poor, Lord, deserted or lonely. I'm not discouraged, I'm heart unbound. I'm just a pilgrim in search of a city. I want a mansion, a robe and a crown. I've got a mansion just over the hilltop, in that bright land where we'll never grow. And someday yonder, we will never more wander, but walk the streets that are pure as gold.
I'll be reading from 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13 through 21. Therefore, preparing your minds for action and being sober-minded, set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, since it is written, "You shall be holy, for I am holy." And if you call on him as Father, who judges impartially according to each one's deeds, conduct yourself with fear throughout the time of your exile, knowing that you were ransomed from the futile ways of inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot. He was foreknown before the foundation of this world, but was made manifest in the last times for the sake of you, who through him are believers in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God.
Let's pray. Dear God, thank you for letting us be here today, and thank you for keeping us safe wherever we go, and thank you for letting us be safe on our travels and our journeys. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Seven sixty-seven. Psalm before communion. In the hour of trial, Jesus, plead for me. Lest by grace denial I depart from thee. When thou seest me waver, with the look recall, nor suffer me to all.
thy mercy send me sorrow for I'm wounded, or should pain attend me on my path below. Grant that I may never fail thy hand to see. Grant that I may ever cast my care on thee.
Would you pray with me? Lord Jesus, I come before you and just thank you that we have this time together. And Lord, I pray that as we take this meal together, that we never would forget that it is in remembrance of you and your great sacrifice on the cross. I thank you, Father, that your body was broken on the cross for us. It's in your name I pray. Amen. Would you pray with me? Lord, thank you for your blood that was shed on the cross. I thank you that your blood was shed and it could do what we could not do by our own power. Thank you that it washed away our sins and just makes us white as snow. Thank you for that, Lord Jesus. I pray that we never would forget that or take it lightly or take it for granted. It's in your name I pray. Amen. At this time, we're going to pray for the offering. Lord, I thank you that you bless us with and provide us with much more than we could ever ask for or ever need. I thank you that you take care of all of our needs, and I pray that as we return this portion back to you, that it would just be used to share your word and spread your gospel to the far ends of the earth, and that it would be used to help those that are in need. I pray all this in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen.
Mark songbooks number 934. 934 will be the song of invitation. Psalm before lesson 875, home of the soul. Okay, so when we get to the chorus or the refrain, where the altos take the lead, then all the other voices will get a little bit lighter, softer, so altos will carry. We'll sing the first and third stanza.
If for the price we have striven, after our labors are o'er, rest to our souls will be given on the eternal shore. Happy and proud.
Jesus is there. He is the light. Oft in the storm, lonely are we, sighing for home, longing for thee. Beautiful home of the ransomed beside the crystal sea. Soon the bright homeland adorning, we shall be for the glad dawn. Lean on the Lord till the morning, trust till the night is gone. Home of the soul, beautiful home, there we shall rest, never to roam, free from all care, happy and bright. Jesus is there, He is the light. Oft in the storm, lonely are we, sighing for home, longing for ease. Beautiful home of the ransom beside the crystal sea.
Good morning, church. It's good to see you. My family is glad to be back. Last Sunday, we were at a family wedding, and I had a couple people ask me this morning, well, did you get to do the wedding? If you've never done a wedding, you don't get to do a wedding. You have to do a wedding. So thankfully, I did not get to do the wedding. Both of our nephew and his bride, both of their grandparents are ministers. And so I did not get to do the wedding. I got to do other things. So it was really good. And we got to see the boys in tuxedos. So they got to be a part of the wedding. They had to work harder than I did. So that was nice. That was nice. So good to see you today. It's a blessing to be together. And it is good to be able to glorify God together. To be able to praise Him with all that we have. To be able to see each other. To be encouraged by His presence and by one another's presence. All right. We're going to be in Acts chapter 14, but before that, let's go to our Father in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we gather together before Your throne. And Lord, we cast aside what it is that we rely upon that is not You. We lay at the foot of Your throne ego and self and intelligence and accomplishments and, Father, everything that we are tempted to trust. And we confess Your Son, Jesus Christ, is Lord and Savior. He is master of our lives. He is the one who died so that we could be forgiven of our sins and live eternally. Father, we praise Your name. We praise Your name because we know that inside of us, nothing good comes. We know, Father, that we have sinned. We know that we have strayed. We know that we have not been faithful with what You have given us. We confess these things to You. We claim only the blood of Christ. And we ask that You fill us with Your Holy Spirit so that we may walk in the footsteps of Jesus, that we may live lives that reflect Your glory and Your light. Father, I ask that You increase our faith for whatever it is that we're going through, for whatever challenge we face this day. I pray that we will trust You. I pray that we will remain close to You. I pray that we will not waver, but continue to build our house on the rock, our eternal salvation and foundation. Blessed be your name above all things. Blessed be your name in your church. Blessed be your name in our lives. We love you so very much. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Acts chapter 14. You know, we see a lot of people follow a lot of different things with their lives. And it's easy to point fingers and it's easy to pick out people in the world and say, wow, I cannot believe that they are devoting their lives to something that we deem worthless or not important. And we see people around us that fall for a new or a popular ideology or theology or belief. We see people around us that fall for new gods. And if you're curious, there's lots of new gods. There are lots of old gods and there's lots of new gods. Man has been creating things to worship and to devote themselves to. We see it all around us. We also see people following new fears, new things that can kill us, can lead us astray, can destroy us. And yet we also see believers, fellow Christians, following strange things. You know people in your lives that have completely fallen away. At one time they were a believer, and for whatever reason, they weren't holding tight enough, or the enemy got hold of their heart, their mind, and their soul, and drug them away. And they said, not anymore. But church, we are all, every one of us, commanded and encouraged to follow Jesus. And so this morning we're going to take a look at Scripture and be encouraged to do just that. Because if you had asked those Christians who have fallen away 1, 2, 5 years before that, if they could have ever seen themselves not trusting Jesus, no. I'll always trust Jesus. I'll always follow Jesus. I'll always be faithful. If you've ever talked to someone and asked how their life was working out while following a false god, it's going just fine. What's the problem? It is absolutely amazing, but it shouldn't surprise us that human nature tends to take us to idolatry. And so we must be prepared and practiced and ready for whatever comes up, so that we are not aligning our hearts or our lives to anything other than our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So in Acts chapter 14, the Apostle Paul's traveling around cities, and at this point in Acts, he's got Barnabas with him, and they're going around and they're preaching Jesus Christ. And they are talking to some Jews, they are talking to some Gentiles. In Acts chapter 14, let's pick it up in verse 8. 14:8 says, now at Lystra there was a man sitting who could not use his feet. He was crippled from birth and had never walked. He listened to Paul speaking, and Paul, looking intently at him and seeing that he had faith to be made well, said in a loud voice, stand upright on your feet. And he sprang up and began walking. And when the crowd saw what Paul had done, they lifted up their voices in Lyconian, the gods have come down to us in the likeness of men. Barnabas they called Zeus, and Paul Hermes, because he was the chief speaker. And the priest of Zeus, whose temple was at the entrance to the city, brought oxen and garlands to the gates and wanted to offer sacrifice with the crowds. But when the apostles Barnabas and Paul heard of it, they tore their garments. They rushed out into the crowd crying out, men, why are you doing this? We are also men of like nature with you, and we bring you good news that you should turn from these vain things to a living God who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and all that is in them. In past generations, he allowed all the nations to walk in their own ways, yet he did not leave himself without witness, for he did good by giving you rains from heaven and fruitful seasons, satisfying your hearts with food and gladness. Even with these words, they scarcely restrain the people from offering sacrifice to them. But Jews came from Antioch, in verse 19, and Iconium, and having persuaded the crowds, they stoned Paul and dragged him out of the city, supposing that he was dead. But when the disciples gathered around him, he rose up and entered the city, and on the next day, he went on with Barnabas to Derbe. So, in this part of the story, as Paul and Barnabas are taking the gospel with them, and they're going throughout Eastern Europe, and they're going to all these different towns, and they're teaching people about Jesus. They're teaching people about Jesus, and they have some Jewish people that are basically chasing them. Now, this is not strange, because you remember this is exactly what Paul used to do. Paul went from town to town chasing people who were preaching about Jesus. So just because Paul met Jesus and changed doesn't mean that there aren't others who are still carrying on that deadly ministry. Well, now they're chasing Paul. And so Paul is going and he is preaching the gospel. He is sharing Jesus with everyone. And he comes to this town. He sees a man whose legs have never worked. And he says to him, "Stand up." The man stands up, and everyone who sees this says, "Okay, all right, this is a big deal. The gods have come down to us in human form." Well, now they want to start sacrificing to Paul and Barnabas. This must be it. This is what it looks like. This is what we've been waiting for. I mean, we've been worshiping the gods up there. They don't really say much. They don't really interact much. And, you know, we offer them animals and we bring to them sacrifices and we give to them gifts. And now they've shown up because we've never seen a miracle like this. And so they're trying to exalt them, and Paul and Barnabas race out into the crowd, and they're ripping open their cloaks, and they're basically saying, "Look, flesh, we are just like you. We are men just like you, but we are here to share with you that you don't have to worship these vain things anymore. You should not devote your lives to this ridiculous stuff that you are giving your lives to. We are calling you out of that to worship the living God. Turn from vain things and worship God." It's good for us all to hear. Turn away from vain things, empty things, worthless things. Turn away from those things in your life and worship God. I find it interesting in verse 16, he says, look, in times past, those were the days of ignorance. Before Jesus came, he pretty much allowed the Gentiles to do what they were going to do. He said he had a witness. I mean, you can look at creation, and Paul does a great job of pointing to Romans chapter 1 and Romans chapter 2, and he makes a big argument that says, you know God exists. Everybody knows that there's something to be able to stand here amidst all of creation and all that we have and all that we are blessed with, and to look and go, "Oh yeah, lucky us, lucky us." It's a good thing our ancient ancestors crawled out of the ooze. It's a good thing our ancient ancestors shed all their hair and began to walk upright and create language and do all those amazing things. Isn't that awesome? Lucky us. Paul says, look, you're worshiping vain things. They're empty. They're nothing. And if you are devoting your life to something besides God, it's empty and it's nothing. It does not fill you, and it's going to leave you greatly disappointed when Jesus returns. And so he says, we are calling you out of those things. See, before he accepted your ignorance, before he didn't hold you to the standard that he held to his own people who had the law and the prophets. But now that Jesus has come, Jesus dies for the sins of the whole world. Jesus comes and says, I am here fulfilling every promise that God made to his people, but I am also here to call all nations to myself. God loves you all, and he wants you all to be a part of his family. That's good news. That is good news, and it is good news for those of us who sit here this morning, and it is good news for those who are not here, who are not anywhere, who are ignorant of the message of Jesus Christ. It is still good news for the entire world. Now, this is why we do not follow men. This is why we do not devote ourselves to just another human. Because humans, as we see in this story, are very fickle. Are they not? They sure are. We want to worship you and celebrate you and bring gifts to you. And because some people came in saying, hey, you know these guys are liars. These guys aren't real. They turn around and they kill them. In fact, you saw the two verses. That's why we read all the way to 20. You are gods. You must die. Just like that. We don't follow men because men are fickle. Our hearts are fickle. We change our minds just like this, don't we? We have the ability to change our minds and our devotions on a whim. And that's what's pointed out to us. If you listen to man, you'll fall for anything. If you listen to man, you'll fall for anything. And these Greeks who have been worshiping Zeus and all these other gods now want to shift their devotion to Paul and Barnabas. But because another person comes in, another person, the Jews didn't do any miracles. They didn't do anything to earn their trust. They just came in and said, these guys are liars. They need to be destroyed. And then the crowd follows them and does their work. Let's go a few chapters ahead. Take a look at Acts chapter 17. In Acts chapter 17, Paul finds himself in Athens. In Athens. And here in Athens, there is another group of very religious people. And again, if you're wondering how this connects to our lives today, all you have to do is look at someone's Facebook feed. You'll see exactly what they worship. You'll see exactly what gods they're propping up. People will tell you what they love and what they worship. It doesn't take much energy to recognize it. We're no different. They were no different. They're worshiping. They have idols for every god. They've got a god for this and a god for that and a god for this and a god for that. And so Paul is preaching to them about Jesus and about the resurrection from the dead. And let's see. Verse 18, Acts 17, starting verse 18. Some of the Epicurean and Stoic philosophers also conversed with him, and some said, what does this babbler wish to say? And others said, well, he seems to be a preacher of foreign divinities. He's bringing to us a God from far away because he was preaching Jesus and the resurrection. So they bring him in front of everybody, and they put Paul up on the stage, and they say, okay, Paul, tell us what you got to say. Let's hear it. In verse 22, so Paul, standing in the midst of the Areopagus, said, men of Athens, I perceive that in every way you are very religious. For as I passed along and observed the objects of your worship, I found also an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God. This I proclaim to you, the God who made the world and everything in it, being Lord of heaven and earth, does not live in temples made by man, nor is he served by human hands, as though he needed anything, since he himself gives to all mankind life and breath and everything. And he made from one man every nation of mankind to live on all the face of the earth, having determined allotted periods and the boundaries of their dwelling place, that they should seek God and perhaps feel their way toward him and find him. Yet he is actually not far from each one of us, for in him we live and move and have our being. As even some of your own poets have said, for we are indeed his offspring. Being then God's offspring, we ought not to think that the divine being is like gold or silver or stone, an image formed by the art and imagination of man. The times of ignorance God overlooked, but now he commands all people everywhere to repent, because he has fixed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by a man whom he has appointed. And of this he has given us assurance to all by raising him from the dead. So Paul looks at the objects of worship and all the idols that are all around him, and he says, look, I can tell that you are very religious. You have gone above and beyond. You have an idol and a god for everything. In fact, you even have one here that says to an unknown god. Basically what they're thinking is, in case we have missed any god, we've got this one covered. We may not even know his name, but we don't want to offend him. So if there's another god out there that we left out, this is his altar. We will sacrifice to it. We will worship. We will praise him. We don't know his name. We don't know what he looks like. We're not really sure what he does, but just in case, Paul says to them, I want you to know something. That this unknown God, this God that you are not aware of, he is the creator of all that you see. He is the giver of life. Church, that's why in case you haven't been paying attention your entire lifetime, that's why the whole creation, evolution, argument, all of that stuff is such a big deal. It is a big deal. And this, you see, this is what Paul points to. Paul points to creation. God made this. If it was some happy cosmic accident that you and I just exploded from somewhere and ended up here, and we can draw breath, and we can stand upright, and we can speak, and the way our bodies are wonderfully made, the way that our brains can put together thoughts, and we can construct and hold conversations with one another. Paul says, all that's a gift from God. He is the Father of all creation. He made everything. And we, as his children, we've all gone astray. And he overlooked that in the past. Again, Paul uses that same line. The days of ignorance, he overlooked. But now, he has given judgment to his son. Now, he has given judgment through the name of Jesus Christ. So the creator of all things, the creator of all people, the creator of everything that we are and say and do and see and experience and touch, the creator of all things is our heavenly Father. And he has sent his only Son, Jesus Christ, to come into creation, to be a part of creation, to live a perfect and blameless life, to show us what we were meant to be. And then he allows him to also be the only sacrifice that God is accepting of and pleased with, his very own son. And so Paul calls those in Athens to faith. The Holy Scriptures and the Holy Spirit call us to faith, to believe in Jesus, to trust in Jesus for our salvation, to not put our hope in anything else. Paul says here, just like in Acts 14, he says, don't worship other men. Here in Acts 17, Paul warns us, don't worship any created thing. So we don't worship other people, and we don't worship anything of creation. We don't worship things that are made with hands. We don't worship idols. Things that are made with wood or silver or gold. Anything that we can put together with our hands must not be worshipped. You realize that if you make something, it's less than you, right? If you form or fashion something with your very own hands, it is beneath you. You can't form or fashion something and dedicate it or exalt it above you because you made it. It is the one who made it that deserves worship. I am above anything that I create. And so God is above all of us and all of us because he created us. So nothing that can be formed or fashioned with these hands or with your hands is worthy of worship. Do not worship anything in creation. That's our warning. That's our warning. Turn back to Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6. In Luke chapter 6, Jesus is going to help us out a little bit with this. Luke chapter 6, go down to verse 46. Because so far, most of us are probably sitting here feeling pretty good, going, hey, I don't worship other men. I worship Jesus. I don't exalt other people, and I certainly don't worship things. I don't have a statue at my house that, you know, I light candles to and I put flowers and incense on. I don't worship things. I'm feeling pretty good with this lesson. Michael, good job. I'm going to compliment you when all things are done and we walk out of here. I'm feeling really good. Oh, but then we turn to the words in red. That's right. Luke chapter 6, starting in verse 46. Jesus looks at everyone and he says, and this is a warning. 6:46, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I tell you? Now, that word, Lord, Lord, that's master. Why do you call me master?
Why do you say that I am your boss, your owner, and not do what I tell you to do?
Any of us call Jesus Lord?
Every one of us calls Jesus Lord. We call him Lord and Savior, right? Boss and Redeemer. He's the one that saved us from our sins. He is the one that saved us from ourself. He is the one that saved us from the destruction of this world and made us a part of his family. And now that we're a part of his family, we call him Lord. Jesus Christ, our Lord. What he says goes. He tells us how to live. He shows us what it looks like. And Jesus looks at us and says, it doesn't do you any good to call me Lord and Master and not do what I have told you to do. So, church, this is why we are not exempt from studying the Scriptures, from inspecting the life of Jesus and saying, what is it supposed to look like? What am I supposed to look like? You look at your Creator. You look at the one in whose image you were made to see this is what life looks like. And Jesus says, okay, here's what it looks like. Here's the consequences if you don't listen. Verse 47. Everyone who comes to me and hears my words and does them, I'll show you what he's like. Okay, so everyone that says, you know what? I need a master. Have you seen what I have done in charge of my own life? Oh, I know. Most of us are sitting here going, what do you mean? I've got a pretty good life. I'm a pretty good person. Really? You say something mean to somebody this last week? Did you control your tongue 100%? Did you have an evil thought against your enemy this last week? Go ahead. Show me your perfection. I want to see it. Yeah, me neither. Because at least we're smart enough to know that, right? Absolutely. So we don't come before Jesus saying, wow, what good people we are. No, we don't do that. It'd be ridiculous. Yeah. Lord, I'd like a go. You showed me Jesus. You gave me his perfect life. I'd like to hold my life up next to his. I'll take what's coming. Will you please go home before you do that today? Please. Don't do it in here. And don't do it in the parking lot, okay? No, none of us would dare say out loud, Lord, I want to hold my good life up in front of your judgment throne. Because I'm good enough. I can take it. none of us would tongue out loud that blasphemy. Every single one of us knows our own sins. Every single one of us knows the way that we missed the mark. Every single one of us knows the ways in which we have let the Father down this last week, or yesterday, or this morning on the way here. We know. So Jesus says, look, here's what it looks like if you call me Lord and actually do what I say. Verse 48. He's like a man building a house who dug deep and he laid the foundation on the rock. And when a flood arose, the stream broke against that house and could not shake it because it had been well built. So when we call Jesus Master, when we actually listen to his word and follow him and do what he says, our life is going to hold. Our life is going to hold here and now and throughout all eternity. It's not enough that we just call him Lord and Master. It's not enough that one day we just said, you know what, I'm kind of moved by that sermon, I'm kind of feeling it, I want to be saved, and then just go out and live for ourselves. It doesn't work. It doesn't work. But if we say, you are Lord and Master, I will do what you say, and I will make every single one of my days, every single one of my words and my actions, I will put it on the foundation of Jesus Christ, then whatever happens to me will not shake me. Whatever storms that we must endure will not rattle the foundation. He says, but, and there's always a but, verse 49, but the one who hears and does not do them is like a man who built the house on the ground without a foundation. When the stream broke against it, immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. But if you don't live your life according to the words of Jesus, the same storms, the same river is going to rise, and it's going to hit, and it's going to wipe you away. It's going to wipe you away. So, Jesus says, we cannot confess him as Lord and ignore his word. You guys are aware that in James chapter 2, verse 19, that James says, hey, you know, when you're talking about people who say, oh, yeah, sure, I believe in Jesus. I mean, I'm not going to change my life or actually try to follow him or be faithful to him, but you bet I believe. James 2:19 says, the demons believe. The demons believe. And you know what? James 19 actually says, if you want to turn over there, or at least just take a note and go see it this afternoon. James 19 says, when the demons hear his name, at least they have the wherewithal to shudder. Because they know. You ever met someone that says, yeah, there may be a Jesus. Yeah, sure, there might be a Jesus, but what's that to me? Anybody in here old enough to see The Lion King? Yeah. You know where I'm going, right? Yeah. Yeah. The hyenas hear his name? Mufasa. Do it again. That's how the demons are. That's how demons are. Now imagine in the spiritual realm, the demons, the ones who are against Jesus, the ones who know where they are going to end up in the place apart from Jesus. And all they're trying to do is wreak havoc and take as many as they possibly can with them. And if you can imagine yourself in the spiritual realm with all the demons, and one of the demons says, oh, is that Jesus? I mean, at least the demons know, whoa, they know power. How many people walking around that you and I meet every day that they hear the name of Jesus and they're not humbled, they're not scared? Good, you've all pictured that and you're laughing at them. How many Christians walk this earth and hear the name of Jesus and are not humbled? It should be a little more powerful than Mufasa. For all of us. For all of us. Let's see. Ethan read, Lane prayed for us. Ethan read from 1 Peter chapter 1 this morning. And Peter writes to the church. I'll turn over there because we're going to close with this morning. 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. God actually cares how we live our lives. And we are called as believers in Jesus to be holy, to be set apart, to not look like the rest of the world, but actually be recognizable as the one that we follow. That makes sense, doesn't it? I mean, doesn't that make sense? I mean, not that any of us are excited to go home and watch football this afternoon, but you could at least, if you bothered, you could recognize which team you were rooting for by the color of their jersey, right? Exactly. In the same way, God looks down at us and he wants to be able to recognize his own team. Who's on my team? How do I know who's with me? How do I know who's rooting for me? Who's playing for my side? So, we are called to be holy. So how do we do that? Well, in verse 13, we set our hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Our hope and our faith are set fully on the return of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Our hope and our faith are in nothing else. We trust no one else. We trust nothing else. Our hope is fully set on Jesus Christ. Not Jesus and, not Jesus or, not any and or, ifs or buts. Jesus Christ and him alone. That is it. That is where our faith is. My faith is not in your expectations of me. My faith is in Jesus Christ. My faith is not in my track record or my ability to lead a pretty good life. My faith is in Jesus Christ. My faith is not in the imaginary attendance records for Sunrise Church of Christ. My faith is in Jesus Christ. My faith is in nothing else but Jesus Christ. That's it. And I am so anxious and ready to see him come back. I am ready to see him come back. But if you've read any of the Bible, you realize that he did not call us to hunker down and hide from the world. It may feel like a storm out there, but we don't get to treat it like a tornado warning. We don't just get to hide inside and go, well, cover your neck just in case. He says, get out there. Get out there and live your faith. As obedient, verse 14, as obedient children, don't be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance. If we are obedient children to God, we're not going to go back to our old lives and say, oh yeah, that was pretty good. No, it wasn't. Your life before Jesus was not pretty good. There's not nice people who just need a little bit of the blood of Jesus Christ, and now they're just better people. It doesn't work like that. There is lost and found. There's alive and dead. There is saved and not saved. That's it. There's not nice. There's not going to be nice in heaven. Nice is not a nice word. You know this, right? Yeah, nice has come into Christianity, and it's like a worm, like a virus. You should be nice. Nice. Really? Jesus wasn't nice. He wasn't. He was all love. He was all love. Church, we're not called to be nice. We're called to love. We're called to love. You know what nice doesn't do? Nice doesn't stop and help someone beat up on the side of the road. Nice goes to the other side. You know what love does? Love stops and picks up and takes the hospital and pays the bill. Good Samaritan. You know it. We're not called to be nice. We're called to love. Because God wasn't nice to us. He loves us. He loves us. Verse 17, if you call on him as Father who judges impartially according to each one's deeds, conduct yourself with fear throughout the time of your exile. Conduct yourselves with fear. Well, wait a minute, I thought if we come to Jesus, we shouldn't be afraid anymore. No, you just need to be afraid of the one. We don't fear anything else. There's nothing else in this creation that I should fear. Nothing. Nothing. That didn't say that precaution and all of that is not smart, but I will fear nothing. If I fear the Lord, then I'm okay. Then I'm okay because I will keep him number one. Number one. We have been redeemed by the precious blood of Christ. All right, church. Do not follow your old ignorance. Do not be tempted to go back to your old ignorance. Do not be tempted to turn to anything except Jesus Christ. You have been saved by his precious blood. We do not serve other men. We do not serve created things. We believe the word of God, and our faith and our hope are in God. I'll close it with verse 20 and 21. He was foreknown before the foundation of the world. He was foreknown before the foundation of the world. That is, Jesus was there before all of this is here. But he was made manifest in the last times for the sake of you who through him are believers in God. That means he appeared. He came to earth. He made himself a part of the creation. He came here to where we live, and he showed himself so that all of us would look at his life and say, his Father is God. That's exactly why he did it. Believers in God who raised him from the dead and gave him glory so that your faith and hope are in God. Church, I don't have to say it again, but I will, just in case you haven't been paying attention. There's a lot of other things vying for your time, your soul, your strength, your heart. Our faith and our hope are in God alone. Our salvation is in his Son, Jesus Christ. Do not let go. Do not waver. Do not build anything that you want to keep on anything other than that. Because everything else is going to wash away. Everything else is going to wash away. And if everything not built on Jesus is going to wash away, then hold on to the things built on Jesus. They will not let you down. They will weather the storm. They will see you through. So if you're not a Christian this morning, we invite you to come. If you have not been born again, if you have not died to your sins and your old self in baptism, we invite you to come and do that. Because when we do that, we get to be raised in a new life. What God has done for us through his Son is awesome. And it's awesome enough because it changed the trajectory of our eternity. And it's awesome enough that it actually dictates how we live our lives. And it's awesome enough that we would actually want to share it with someone that we meet this week. It's good news. If you need to respond to the good news, let us know. Let's stand together and sing.
calling for me. See, on the portals he's waiting and watching, watching for you and for me. Come home, come home, ye who are weary, come home. Earnestly, tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling home, sinner, come home. Why should we tarry when Jesus is pleading, pleading for you and for me? Why should we linger and heed not his mercies, mercies for you and for me? Come home, come home, ye who are weary, come home. Earnestly, tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling home, sinner, come home. Oh, for the wonderful love he has promised for you and for me. Though we have sinned, he has mercy and pardon, pardon for you and for me.
We're going to close out our time this morning just sharing any prayer requests or announcements that we might have. A reminder that the next time that we're together is Wednesday night at 7 o'clock. And so we have our Bible study on Wednesday evening, so you can come and join us for that. We'd love to have you. We'd love to have you here, just like Terry said this morning, and I will reiterate it because we're all together, and I wasn't here last Sunday, so just to reiterate, social distancing still needs to be a thing, okay? You will see me wearing a mask, greeting you here, and as soon as this is over, I'll put it on. I serve other people, and so I need to do that. We have people in our number that are sick right now. We have those that are sitting at home waiting on COVID tests right now. So we're together, but we're still being responsible for each other. And so if you don't have to wear a mask, that's fantastic. But some people might. If you need to wear a mask, either for yourself or someone else, no one's going to shame you to do that. Okay? Do what you need to do. But I know I serve a lot of other people. And so when we're sitting here in worship, I can take it off. But when we're talking face to face, I need to protect the other people that I serve all week long. So that's what I do. All right? So let's just remember, just like Terry said this morning, grace and love. That's what we're doing. Because if all we do is bite each other or fight each other about it, we're not being God's children. So let's just be careful how we treat one another. If you're comfortable shaking hands, shake hands. I'm not shaking hands. I serve too many people all week long. I can't do it. Because someone pops positive, contact tracing's coming for you. I can't afford to be at home for 2 weeks. So there's everybody does have their reason, just like Terry said. So let's just make sure that we're still social distancing. The best thing to do is for us to get out of here clearly. Talk outside. There's much lower case of anybody passing anything off outside. Okay, so let's still look out for each other. Let's still take care of each other. That's important. All right, we need to keep Mark Storrs in our prayers. Mark is at home. He is waiting the results of a COVID test. He thinks he has the flu. He says, please pray that it's the flu. And so, but he is at home awaiting those test results. Garrett's at home, but he's woke up with a migraine this morning. And so we'll just pray that he gets better. Aaron and Lance are feeling sick. Okay. All right. So Aaron and Lance are both sick. So we need to keep them in our prayers. So what other? And we're praising God because the Arthurs have water. We mentioned Wednesday night that their well stopped. So they got a new well dug this week. So we are just very thankful to God for taking care of that. And I told Brandon when he walked up, I said, hey, I'm wearing this mask because I wasn't sure if you guys had showers this week. So, but he said, no, we're all good. We've all showered. So we do praise God for that. So what other things are going on this week that we need to lift up and remember?
My sister Bella has macular. It's really bad.
Madison?
Okay. I don't know about the class. She didn't know if the whole class had been invited home or if it was a situation since she's a teacher.
Yeah. Well, as long as you're wearing your mask at schools, you're good. That's why we do. That's why we do.
Also, her daughter, Robbie, is in Oregon where the fire was. Mm-hmm.
Belva's daughter, Robbie? Okay. All right. Yep, Tom?
Big thanks to Matt and for hanging the TVs and running all the electrical cables and all that. Ben and Steve and I were here to help, but I think we were more moral support than we were.
Look at Matt. He's such a great project manager. No, Tony, y'all helped. Really. Just like when you were teaching your kids ran in. Mom made supper and I helped. I almost got both napkins on the table. Yes, we do. This is a new addition, and we're getting the software and everything worked out so we can put the song leading or the songs and the music up on the screen so we don't have to touch and clean songbooks all the time. So that's what we're working towards. We're almost there. But we do appreciate the guys, all the guys who helped. We appreciate your efforts. What else? Yeah.
I'm not going to go into detail with that because it's pretty sensitive, but I know it's laying on my heart as well as many others. The Jarvis family.
Jarvis family? I think the lesson from the Apostle Paul is those of you who are grown up, do not go back to your ways of ignorance like college students, right? That's apropos. I think that works. Okay, I saw. Oh, yes, Lisa. Okay. All right, anybody else? Okay, well, we will close in a prayer. We offer the prayer here, but just keeping the contact down, just with the Lord's Supper. If you've got giving to do, we've got that out on the table. And then, put a car hood in between and talk to somebody. We still need a fellowship, okay? It's still important. And we can just do it. We can do it at a distance. You can fellowship at a distance. I can. right. All right, let's go to our Father in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for bringing us together in your name, and I just ask your blessings to be upon Sunrise. I ask, Lord, that you increase our faith every day, that we will trust you and only you in all aspects of our lives. I pray, Father, that you will fill us with your Spirit so that this week we will know where to go, know who to talk to, and I pray that you put a fire in our bellies to share the good news. Father, we are so grateful for being saved and being made part of your family. Let us, Father, live each day knowing that your family needs to be bigger, that your kingdom needs to grow, and it's only going to happen with your faithful children doing what we're supposed to do. So let us, Father, share with the world the good that you have done, the beautiful place that you have made for us. And Lord, we know that everybody's looking around creation right now and just thinking it's not a beautiful place, but you made it, you called it good, and we will not argue. It's in distress right now. And it's painful and it's ugly right now, Father. And so we just ask for your healing of the land. We ask for your healing of the land, that you put out fires that are destroying trees. We ask for your healing of the land, that you bring virus to an end and make bodies whole. We pray, Father, that you bring destruction to an end and bring your lost children home to faith. We love you so much, and we thank you, Father, for redeeming us from our sins. And we pray that this week we'll go out and be your people, that we will put others' needs above our own, that we will not get up and get ourselves ready and just go to school and go to work and take care of our own empty bellies and our own desires and our own needs. Father, remove that idolatry from our hearts so that we will serve those around us. Give us a heart for Jesus and give us a heart for the lost. Father, this morning we lift up Mark and we just pray that his test comes back negative, and we pray that you heal his body. We lift up Garrett and we pray, Father, that you heal him of this migraine today, that you settle his stomach and take the pain out of his head. Father, we lift up Aaron and Lance and we just ask for healing for them. We just pray that you strengthen them, and we just ask that they be okay. Heavenly Father, we ask that you be with Belva, that you bless her in her waning sight, that you help her to get around okay and safely, that you be with Madison and Robbie, and just be with Madison, and we just pray that there will be no lasting effects from COVID, that you'll protect her class. We pray that you be with Robbie and just protect her from the fires and protect everyone on the West Coast that is seeing destruction and loss of life and property. And we just ask that you protect them and help our firefighters put it out. Bring some rain. Heavenly Father, we we lift up the Jarvis family, and we just pray that you surround them and cover them and bless them with what they need right now. Heavenly Father, excuse me. Father, we ask that you be with Charlie's co-worker that tested positive, that you be with everyone that Charlie works with, that they will all be spared, and we just pray that the store can get opened back up as soon as possible, and that they can just continue to serve their customers safely and in a healthy environment. Father, we ask that you be with our young people. We just pray that all of them will make good decisions. Be with all of our kids and just help them to shine your light this week, and be with all the young people that live in Lubbock right now. And we just pray that they will take things seriously and not do things to endanger others. Father, we love you so very much. And praise you for the Arthurs and getting their new well dug, and we thank you for taking care of that and being with them. And we know that that's a difficult time. And so I thank you for getting their water back going. And Father, we lift up Amy. And we just pray that she will have peace this week, that she will not live in fear, that she will trust you. And we just pray and ask that her biopsy Wednesday will be good results and be a blessing to her health. Father, our faith and our hope are in Jesus Christ, your only Son. So may we live this week calling him Master and following through. We lift these prayers in his holy name. Amen.